We have now a phone call. Caller, thanks for joining us. Hello?
Hello?
Still there?
Yeah. No, it's just weird. Well, I heard the comment earlier, the question about bridge the gaps between the Pakistani community and the Dominican. Well, a long time ago, around where Emil Durkheim was around, what he used to do, he used to go ahead and teach his sociology in schools, because schools was the only way that it would be accepted, and accepted throughout the minds, and it would be formally stated within the people. Now, out there, if you go out ahead and say, oh, we need to do this, we need to reach the gaps between the Pakistanis and the Dominicans, I think the best way is to start in the schools. And if you have people like you guys as teachers, as motivators, as speakers, maybe, you know, something could happen, not only just for the Pakistanis and the Dominicans, but for anything. Well, that's it. That's the end of it.
Thanks for that positive comment. It's true. I think that, you know, one thing we constantly get at is there's all this silence, and you know, there needs to be a lot more dialogue sort of going on. And I think one thing that's interesting, the project that I organize is called Families for Freedom, and it's a network of people in the New York and New Jersey area that are facing immigrant detention and deportation. And what's amazing to me about the organizing work that we do is that we have members from different countries, and what always inevitably happens with each member is when they first come into the situation, they're stunned by the fact that there are people of different nationalities sort of in the same boat, and they're stunned at all the sort of common ground that exists. And that's why I think that it's so important to create these collective spaces to really foster that and put our resources behind it.
I also think, like what he mentioned, is that a lot of times we think that the work that needs to be done is activism and organizing, which definitely does need to be done, right? But I feel like a really big part of that work is also education and public education and working with young people. And so I think that through that, we can foster some sort of dialogue, and we can foster understanding, and we can help young, like we can empower young people to A, understand the situation, but then not to stay in that place of being overwhelmed or despairing that there's nothing we can do, right? And so to not only educate young people into the situation, but then to also empower them with ways to take action, be it through organizing and activism or through public education or through, you know, creating really creative media products.
I know us at Prison Moratorium Project, because we're definitely involved in the campaign with Desi Rising Up and Moving, we go into high schools and do workshops with young people around these issues. You know, basically just getting the information to them, educating them on them. And one of the things that always seems to come up is, that can't happen. You know, they're violating your rights. They just, you know, it's so hard for them to grasp that, you know, that the United States of America, this beautiful, great country, would actually take folks out of their home at 2 o'clock in the morning and away from their families, and you couldn't get information about it, you know, even if they're immigrants or whatnot. So it's really very, you know, deep for me to actually come here, you know, and being very much American born and having that privilege of American system, of being American, you know, going into high schools and, like, you know, doing INS workshop to, like, young people who are either immigrants themselves or second generation immigrants, mm-hmm. and very much see their parents and what they went through coming here, and, you know, and to hear them talk about how their culture is even demonized, you know, you can't even, like, the parents wouldn't even let them speak, you know, their native language or so on and so forth, you know, and for reasons of, you know, fear. You know, and having created that space, you know, to very much talk about those issues. Matter of fact, me and Mona Mee did a couple of those workshops.
Mm-hmm. And I think the youth organizing piece and working with young people is really critical. You know, after 9/11, after we started the campaign to stop the disappearances, we still put in a lot of energy and resources in working with young people in the community, because I think young people have a very different perspective and a very different politicization than our parents. You know, particularly considering how long ago you came to this country, I think there's a lot more opportunities for young people to make connections and linkages between other people of color communities and how they're targeted and criminalized and what happens to them. Because, you know, it's not this clear distinction of, like, you know, black man in baggy jeans and turban immigrant, but there's, like, immigrant young people who are people of color, who fit the profile of criminality of youth and had been targeted that way before September 11th, and so understand that 9/11 is part of that same sort of system. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time having South Asian and Muslim young people meet with non-immigrant young people and have these dialogues and these conversations.
And I also think to kind of, I think part of what we're also trying to teach young people is to be really critical of the messages that are out there, right? To be really critical of media messages or to have media literacy skills or critical media viewing skills. Because I feel like that's sometimes a way that they get these messages is because they're just being funneled from all these different areas, from TV, from news, from, you know, everywhere, and to really be able to sort out and to view it critically.
So we've got a question from the audience. Introduce yourself first.
Hi, my name is Shauna Carter. I was wondering, Chino had touched on earlier about the connection between investments made in detention centers, and I wondered if there is any trend that you guys have noticed in terms of public or private funding for these new institutions that are being built.
Well, I mean, you know, the Cornell Corrections Corporation total estimate of bringing in over like 20,000 beds into like different into INS federal prisons, and that will be at a cost of like $46 billion. So that's just how much, you know, that would gross, you know, if they were bringing these beds and keep these people indefinite.
What's really interesting about the way that immigrant detention works is that right now, private prison companies and county jails contract out a lot of the immigrant detention spaces. So you actually have this huge profitable business. Like, it's really raking in money. Let's say, for example, a county jail, you know, located in a place with a depressed economy is getting about $23-$30 a pop for its regular inmate. It'll get about $72-$75 a pop for the federal immigration inmate. So there's a real business going on in there. And I think that what's so terrifying about this is, you know, we talk about these issues in terms of immigrants' rights, in terms of national security, and to a certain extent this is a bit of a vacuum because there's this entire industry component to what we're talking about. There are people that actively lobby for the policies we're talking about, and they're not just xenophobes, they're not just people who hate immigrants, they're corporate sort of, you know, hotshots. They're people who know that you need business. And so I think that doesn't get touched upon enough is that you have, for example, as Chino mentioned, the CEO of one of America's largest private prison companies, his name is Steve Logan, say one quarter after September 11th, this is great for business, this is great for business, and encouraging investors, you know, to look at this. So next phone call. Caller, thanks for joining us. You there?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, I have a question, please. Why is it that the majority of Puerto Rican women are lesbian perverts?
Can I answer that?
Can I answer it? Why are you such a fucking asshole? Can I just say that? Because you are. You're being really ignorant now, and you're on live television, so goodbye, dummy.
This actually sort of addresses something that I wanted to touch on.
Yeah.
Right. Just to make something useful out of something completely useless.
How is your relationship with your mother, by the way? Go ahead.
So, I mean, we've talked about how immigrant rights issues are connected to criminal justice issues and other people of color issues. But I think with the big picture, historically, you know, the Civil Rights Act and the 1965 Immigration Act that let people of color come into this country for the first time in about 50 years, those things went together, and they also went together with legislation and policy that was favorable to labor and that was favorable to poor white people. And I think when we talk about making connections, it has to be conceived of as part of a broader social justice movement, because what we're combating is a broad social injustice movement. And the climate that created the post 9/11 stuff is the same climate that created the welfare bill, and it's the same climate that represses gay people, and it's the same climate that creates comments like the one we just heard, right? And so even while we're talking about the connections we're making on a micro level, I think for us as advocates, it's important to keep in mind the really big picture, mm-hmm. that we're part of something larger than just these narrow issues that we're talking about.
Which, again, brings us to this sort of question. I'm happy that, you know, actually, I appreciate that caller's question because I think it throws a sort of reality into it, you know, which is that part of the theme of tonight's show is media, war, and prisons. And there is this huge anti-war movement. And I feel like right now there's an opportunity to bring the issues we're talking about into that movement, you know, which doesn't happen.